in the pew, I'm going to invite you to pull your Bible out and turn with me to James chapter 3, and we're going to read from verses 13 through 18. And the sermon title today is entitled Two Types of Lives, and you're going to see that it's going to talk about wisdom, and we've already had one sermon from James on wisdom, but this one's a little different, and I hope you take away different things today for your life and the way that you live. And so I just want to, another thing I want to impress upon you is that if you have your own Bible, bring it to church. Write in it, mark in it, write notes as you learn new things about the Word of God. And so some of you do carry your own Bible, and that's great. So I'm going to encourage you, if you have your own Bible at home and you want to add more to it as you sit here and you learn about the Word of God, I would encourage you to do that. But if you don't, turn in your pew Bible this morning. And let's follow along with me as I read the Word of God. Let's begin our reading at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. The word of the Lord. I'm going to encourage you also this morning to keep your Bible open, because we'll reference a few verses in this morning that we're going to tear apart, we're going to break down, we're going to look at some deeper meaning behind them this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've read from your word, Lord, may your Spirit bring that word to life. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your name, those who are listening online this morning, Lord, as they hear your message, may they be blessed. May that same Spirit open their hearts, minds, and souls to be taught something new in their spiritual walk with you. Lord, may these words be your words and not mine. May you fill me with that same Spirit as I bring your message to your people today. In Jesus I pray, amen. I have a picture I'm going to show you here in just a little bit, but this is more geared towards mothers this morning, and I'm not picking on you at all, but it will definitely drive my point across to you of what chaos might have looked like in your home when you had young children. How many of you remember those days, or maybe you're living in those days right now? Did you ever have days that you're at wit's end and you wondered, is this what life's going to look like for the rest of my life? And so, but let me also make the transition this morning that I want you to know that it's not only mothers with young children that live in chaos. There are people all over this world that choose to live in chaos in their lives. But I want you to know that God did not intend for us to live chaotic lives. God intended for us to live lives of peace, especially in the world. Now, you might know people who live this type of life, but let me also say this. If you don't know anybody that lives this type of life, maybe you're the one living that type of life, right? So be aware of that this morning. I also believe that there are times in our lives that I want to put this disclaimer out here, because I'm going to talk about those two different types of lives in just a little bit. But the point is that I think we might waver between both of them from time to time. Chaos and peace. I mean, we're good Christians, but we're not perfect Christians either. We fall short once in a while in our daily lives with our families, with our coworkers, whatever it might be, the communities that we live in, those things go on. So keep that in mind as I go through this message this morning. You might not necessarily be one or the other. You might find yourself in one place a lot more than you used to be, or maybe you're in a place now that you don't want to be, and you desire to be over here in the peaceful camp of life. So think about that as you hear this message this morning. The key word that I want to share with you this morning is wisdom. You see it four times mentioned in this passage that I read you this morning. And let me just define that in two ways. The first one I want to give you this morning is wisdom according to the world, according to the dictionary that you and I might be familiar with. And so let me tell you this definition. The dictionary says that wisdom is the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. Or you have good sense about you. That's wisdom, earthly wisdom. But then I wanted you to think about the context that James is writing here. Now remember, he's in the early church. He knows about Jesus Christ. He's been raised as a Jew. He gets Jewish law. He knows what's going on. He would have understood the Hebrew language. He would have also understood Greek. And do we have anybody here by the name of Sophia this morning? I know there's a couple of you, but they're maybe not here. But here's what I want you to think about. In the Greek, the word for wisdom is Sophia. So if you're Sophia this morning, good for you this morning. You've been named for wisdom, and hopefully you carry that. But here's what I want you to go just a little bit deeper this morning. I want you to think about James. He knew the Hebrew language, and he would have understood that at a deeper level. And here's the point that James would have been making to his congregation or whoever he's speaking to. The word wisdom in Hebrew is skill. Get it? Now, I better drink some water because otherwise I'm going to talk my voice out. Skill. In the Hebrew, I want you to think about Old Testament times when they built the tabernacle. When King Solomon built the temple, he called men up with specific skill, with the ability to build the things that God wanted him to build. All right? Now, James, that's what he would have gotten. So here's what I want you to think about in the skill. Get this sentence. Skill in the Hebrew, the way that James wants us to think about wisdom in our lives, is what kind of skill are you using in your daily life to apply the Word of God? That's what he's getting at. That's a big question, isn't it? What's that looking like? What kind of wisdom do you possess in your life that comes from God, that is reflected in the way that you live your daily life? And that's where this message is going this morning. Now, every one of you will find a different answer for that and where you're at and what's going on this morning. So let's talk about, excuse me, what's going on here. So he's going to help us understand these two different types or ways of communicating. So here's what I want you to think about. There's a link between the kind of wisdom we possess and our conduct. I want you to get that and understand that. Look at verse 13. If you have your Bible open with you this morning, it's also on the screen. But he starts with a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Right? And my guess is that of us that ask you that question, you would not speak it out, but in your mind you're thinking, I am. I'm wise. I think I got it figured out. Right? I think I know what I'm doing. I've read the Bible. I understand it. I'm applying it to my life. And all of us would probably answer, yep, I think that's me. Right? Who doesn't want to think that about their life? But then here's in the very next sentence, that a person's conduct will demonstrate what kind of wisdom is operating in his or her life. Remember that question that I just asked you about what skill looks like in your life? What's it looking like? And so you can conclude a couple of things in the way that James uses the term in this passage. Your wisdom is a reflection of your lifestyle. Right? In biblical terms, it's how we put what we practice. It's what we learn. It's how you understand. It's wisdom, and it's how you put it into practice in your daily life, right? Now, that question takes on an entirely different meaning when you start to think about those things in your life, is what does wisdom look like? What does skill look like in my life? And so there are two types of wisdom that I'm going to bring out to you this morning that I want to share with you. And so here they are. You got to kind of squint maybe because the boxes are a little bit small, but you'll get it and you'll understand it. It's also on your outline this morning. And so these two types of wisdom will directly relate to the way that you live your life. And you're going to choose one or the other. You might float from time to time, but there are no other options. It's these two types of wisdom in the world that you and I live in today. The first one is this, and this is the one that you want to possess. Either you're growing and maturing as a believer who seeks and has the godly wisdom in your life. That's your first option. That's your goal. That's what you want. Your second option, if we don't possess godly wisdom, the Bible refers to those as fools, right? Foolishness. We might have another term that we could call this earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom, right? Now, there's no gray area here, and there are no other options that you get to choose in life. It's either godly wisdom that you pursue, or it is earthly wisdom that you pursue, and there might be times in your life when you do both. But this morning, for my sake of preaching, I don't want you to pursue earthly wisdom. I want you to pursue godly wisdom in your life. And we'll break this down just a little bit more here in the next chapter. Where does godly wisdom come from, people? I'm sorry, my voice is dry this morning. But hopefully I'll be able to get through this in good shape with you. It originates from God, right? Somebody's giving me a cough drop. I'm going to take one because otherwise, I'm not going to be able to preach well to you. Apparently, the Satan doesn't want me to bring this to you today. But we know that godly wisdom originates from God. It comes from above, right? That's where we find it. We seek God. We seek the Word of God. We pray. We spend time in the Word. And we gain godly wisdom for our lives. True wisdom comes only from God. I want you to understand that. And here's the key. It only comes to those who seek Him in their lives. Did you hear that? Godly wisdom only comes from those, or is given to those, who seek Him in their lives. So what's going on in your life today? What's happening? You're all in different places. There are different things that are happening. There are joyous things. There are hard, difficult things. But who and what are you seeking in the midst of those things that you're encountering in your life? Where are you drawing your wisdom from? Whatever you might be going through in your life. That's a good question I want to send home with you today. As you go through this week, I want you to think about that. Proverbs 2, verse 6 and 7. It's in the orange box on the screen this morning. But here's what it says. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. You and I are the upright. We're the followers of Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God speaks about to you and I. This is where we are to gather this type of wisdom. Now, here's the other kind of wisdom that I want to talk to you about. It's called foolish wisdom, or earthly wisdom. It does not come from God. You get your Bible open, turn to verse 15 with me this morning. It's also in the green box in the screen. But I want to talk to you about this verse. I want to break it out so you understand how you might gain earthly wisdom. And I think a lot of us might go there and do that. All right? Let me read the verse to you. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. All right? So think about that for a moment. So let me break this out to you. I'm going to take this verse and we're going to split it all apart, give you some understanding of it. human reason, earthly wisdom. All right, it ties to the first word that I have underlined in there, earthly. It is earthly wisdom. Now, let me give you an example of what that might look like in our lives. When people have human reason without God, not a lot of things make sense. So let me just share an example with you this morning that makes sense. If you seek earthly wisdom, is there any way that somebody would come back from the dead? No. Have you seen anybody that's come back from the dead in your life? No. Once a person is dead, they're dead. So what do you think happens with an unbeliever that has human reason, that doesn't believe that there's a God and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? They don't believe, do they? They won't even go there with you. That's human reason. That's earthly wisdom that people use. You and I know different than that because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have a word that we have in our lives that we call what? Faith. That Jesus rose from the dead. That's godly wisdom, right? Earthly wisdom says there's no way that Jesus rose from the dead. When you're dead, you're dead. That never happened is what some people think when they use human reason. Do you see human reason get used today in the world that you and I live in? It's all over the place, right? Correct? And if we want to know something today, what do people say today? Outside of Scripture, they say, follow the science, right? And that might even be messed with today as well, but that's in a whole nother point. But I'm talking about the two different types of wisdom. So let's jump to the next one. Human desire. The word that's in the verse that I want to use is called unspiritual. All right? What does that look like in your life? Human desire, and it's simple. You and I have a desire by nature that we are sinful in our lives. Do you have a, you are born with the ability, the resistance to turn away from God in your life? Is sin easy? Is sin fun sometimes? Yeah. Where do we like to spend our time sometimes? Where it's fun and easy in life, right? And so that's what we have to be careful for. You have a natural pull to be sinful in your life, and you have an unnatural pull to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Unspiritual. All right? And so I used the word this morning, human desire, it to kind of help us understand that today, what that might look like in our spiritual lives. All right? Now let's talk about human arrogance. All right? And I'm going to use the word that that relates to in that scripture as demonic. Okay, and you'll understand here in just a little bit. What do you know about arrogant people? They're a joy to be around, right? Yeah, you just can't wait to spend time with them, right? Yeah, but arrogant people, they sometimes think that they are better than other people, correct? All right, so what do you think that means in your spiritual life? Have you ever seen, this is maybe isn't a good use of words, but I want you to think about an arrogant Christian. What could that look like in your life? And here's where I think that you and I might get into trouble, because we might do this from time to time in our life, and you might be a great follower of God, but sometimes we fall into demonic things, and I'm not saying this is it's something that you stay in, or that's it's bad, or it can be bad. But what I'm trying to get at here with you this morning is sometimes we think that we are better than God. Sometimes in your life, you might be in a situation where you think you might have more wisdom, earthly wisdom, than God. That's human arrogance. In biblical terms, I want you to think about your life this morning. And you might be able to roll off example after example and after example. And when I preach to you this morning, I'm also preaching from a standpoint that I preach to myself, but there's also, thank goodness, by the grace of Jesus Christ, that covers all these mistakes that you and I make. But human arrogance in our life can erupt and you get in a situation where you take control and you seek earthly wisdom and you think you know what's right and you never consult God. Right? How many of you have been there in your life where you think you've got it better under better control than God? Let me ask you this question. How many of you are scared to give up something in your life and give it to God? Because you can't let go of that control. That's arrogance. That's what James is getting at in our lives. And he says, be careful, because that's where Satan loves to work. Right? When you get to replace God. Because when you replace him, you just rejected him in your life. And so there's a term that often we talk about in church and in Bible, and it gets to daily surrender in your life. Are you willing to give that up? All right? And most of you are thinking right now, yep, I've got this issue that I can never give to God, and I'm always trying to run it myself, and it doesn't go well for me, but yet I hang on to it so, so tight. Because I can do it better than God. That's what we think. And James says, you need to let go. You gotta give that to God. That's foolish wisdom. And we know where that gets us in our lives. So let's talk about godly wisdom a little more. All right? It's a life focused on others. The second half of verse 13, if you have your Bible open with you, it says, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Right? Godly wisdom. The key word is humility here this morning. Some translations use the word meekness. They might use that. Now, if I talk about humility and meekness in the English language, that's a sign of weakness. That's what our culture views that as. If you're somebody that's humble and you're meek, it's like, well, they're not very strong, right? They're maybe weak. And so let me kind of change that just a little bit for you this morning. When James uses these words, I think that we have, I give you a definition in the blue box this morning. Go to the, look at the screen this morning. And I read this morning in my reading, or this past week in my readings, and it made such good sense. What James is trying to speak to us about humility and meekness in Scripture, it is power under control. You know who the best example of power under control is? It's Jesus Christ, right? He could calm the storm. He's relaxed in the boat, and he says, be quiet. And the storm goes down. He could walk up to a paralytic man and say, take up your mat and walk. See, power under control. And for a Christian, you and I, if we are humble, we're meek, we possess power under control. Now, we're not Jesus Christ, but we're given the power of the Holy Spirit to do great things in our lives. Way more than what we could do physically. Through the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit. But let me share this with you. When you develop that kind of power under control, guess what else God says and James says comes with it? It's peace. No matter what goes on in your life, remember the chaos I was talking about, all the things that sometimes we invite into our life. When we have power under control, one of the outputs that you and I have that will naturally come out of us is peace in the midst of cancer. Peace in the midst of death. Peace in the midst of financial burdens or whatever it might be that's going on in your life. And this is the kind of peace. Now remember, James would have known the Hebrew language well, the Israelites, where he grew up, the Jews. And guess what word defines peace for us at a very deep level? Now I'm going to jog your memory to see if you can come up with this morning, congregation. What's the word you think I'm talking about? Starts with an S. Shalom. Let me describe shalom to you this morning. This is what James is talking about to you and I. He says, when we have the absence of conflict and we fill our lives with peace, knowing that God's in control of everything, even that one thing that you desire to hang on to and try to be God in, he says, if you let go of that, you're going to have a picture of wholeness in your life, you're going to have an abundance in your life, and you're going to have fulfillment in your life. That's shalom. How many of you desire that today in the world that you and I live in? Because I don't think today that enough of us have that type of shalom that God talks about. And our world definitely could use some shalom, couldn't it? Yeah, that deep peace about, you know what, things are going to be just fine. God's in control in the world that you and I live in. So I want you to think about shalom this morning in the midst of peace versus chaos in your life. And I've described those two types of wisdom to you this morning. And one brings chaos and the other brings peace in your life. So let me ask you this question. I think I got it here, yeah. How many, do you know people whose lives are out of control? Right? You can all come up with people that live there. Maybe you find yourself there this morning in the midst of maybe what's going on in your life. Like, I just can't keep it together. I find myself in a rough spot, or I don't understand what's going on. But foolishness results in a life of chaos. And so we're going to jump to verse 16 here. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Well, how this applies to our world today as well. But I want to talk about your life here this morning. This verse is a picture of a life that's totally out of control. It's chaotic. It's not what God intended for you and I to have. It's confusion. It's instability. It's chaos. See, godly wisdom and earthly wisdom or foolishness could not be more extreme. They're polar opposites in our lives. Right? They're completely different in origin. They're completely different in the way that they operate in life. And their outcomes are completely different in your life. I am confident this morning that all of us in this church want to have the peace that comes from living a life that's characterized by godly wisdom. You and I desire that. Some of you have that. You're already there. You're living in that place. Right? And so since wisdom, we know godly wisdom originates from God, I'm going to say this a second time because I want you to get this morning, is that those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, His Son, they have access to it. And if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you have nothing but foolish, earthly wisdom. Chaos all over the place. And here's something else I want to bring out to you this morning. See, wisdom is something that's not magically given to you. You become a follower of Jesus Christ and you run down to the Jesus store and you buy a big jar of godly wisdom, you take it home and, you know, you suck it up and eat it. That's not how it works. You see, godly wisdom, you need to begin to train yourself to use it and to find it in the Word of God and start making changes in your life to get to those places. That's what you got to do, right? This doesn't magically occur or come about. It takes commitment. And I preach to you about being in the Word of God and praying and asking the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your life from day to day. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you gain the wisdom. It takes a life that's going to pursue Jesus Christ full out, not just partially. So how do you develop that kind of wisdom? Let's go just a little bit deeper with that this morning. All right? Verse 14 gives you the answer to that question right out of the chute. It says, do not boast about it and don't deny the truth in your life. Denying the truth means that we don't live according to His Scripture. All right, so there are two things you see in this verse that it commands us not to do. If you have it with, you can see it in the red box this morning. So it says, do not boast and do not deny the truth. But I'm going to flip this on you, and I'm going to give you two positives this morning of what I want you to do in your Christian walk this morning. All right? So here's the first one that I want you to have, is I want you to have a humble heart. I want you to be full of humility in your life. All right? Now, a wise person, a godly wise person is meek, they're humble in heart, and they're focused on being obedient to God the Father in heaven. That's somebody who's humble, meek in their life, right? Power under control. Throw another verse out here. I don't have this on the screen, but I want you to write it down if you have in your outlines. Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says this to us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? What does it mean to fear God? I think we've lost a little bit of that in the world that you and I live in today as well. It means that we're in awe of God. We realize how powerful he is and that he created you and I. That he loves us. That he gives us the air to breathe. It means we're not arrogant. It means that we live life on his terms, not ours. Let me ask you the second part to that question. How is your humility toward others? What does that look like? Are we humble? Right? Because wisdom comes from heaven. If you have your Bible open, look at verse 17 with me. This is what you should look like, Christian. James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first off pure. It's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy and good fruit, it's impartial, and it's sincere. That's your definition of humility. That's what God says, that's what James says, that's what your life should look like as you live life. Now let me close with this other second part, the second positive that I want you to get. You need to love the truth. All right? We live in a world today that is so messed up with truth, it's not even funny anymore. But what I'm getting at here is if you're going to love the truth, you need to love the Word of God. That's where you find truth. And there's so many people today that think they can find truth in so many other areas in this world, and it causes them to seek that earthly wisdom there, that godly wisdom that you and I need. You need to love the Bible. You need to love the Word of God. It needs to come to life for you and I as we get into it and we live it out. So there are two ways that you live life. Right? You seek godly wisdom or you seek foolish earthly wisdom. And the question that I have for you this morning is, which one are you going to seek? That's where it matters. What are you going to do with that? How does that look? Right? Now, and remember, I told you that you might be in both camps from time to time, but which one are you pursuing? Who are you going after? I know where you can find the blessings. I know where you can find the peace. I've told you that this morning. Now you get to decide what to do with that. All right? Let's pray.